We're good.
Almost ready. I'm going to call to order the regular Board of Education, Massive Plains Board of Education meeting. Would you please call her?
Mrs. Cooley.
Here.
Mr. Buds.
Here.
Mr. Dodds.
Here.
Mr. Mason.
Here.
Mrs. Zanikas.
Here.
Mr. Detweiler and I are also here.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Start with our first order of public communication. We have Ken Morlock signed in. Ken, please, like 16, and state your name and address, please.
Ken Morlock, 9725, Greenwood, Benjamin. I just want to take a minute to see what the view is like on this side of the building. Thank you, Madam President, and the rest of the board. I just have a few comments that I hope I don't take too long. The levy failed, as everybody knows, unfortunately. And I just wanted to say that one of the things that I think may help the next levy committee is to have some kind of direction that the board is going to go if it fails. I know, you know, there's three tries that we have for the levy to pass. The first one is gone. Next one's going to be in May. The last one's going to be in November or August, if you want to do the August one again. But I think it'll be really important for people to know that not just programs are going to be resized or we're going to have some cutbacks in teachers, but I think specifics is going to be critical for the levy campaign to be successful this next goal. I saw that Superintendent Detweiler has a little history of some of the levies, part of your agenda. He was kind enough to let me see some of the history that he showed there. One of the things that I want to point out that the specifics for the history really aren't there, but the last one that we had money approved for in 05 happened after the previous school board, the one that I wasn't on, I just want everybody to know, that they ended up cutting all the sports and extracurricular activities after December. So everything from January on was cut. It really ticked a lot of people off. And if you look at the results there, you know, it won by barely 100 votes. So there were still a lot of people that were kind of upset about that. Now, I think if the board would have said, you know, if it fails, you know, the previous attempt, if it fails, this is what's going to have to go for us to make up the money. We know how much money, you know, we've got to deal with and what to play with. Having the community know that, okay, we're going to cut all the sports, we're going to cut all the extracurriculars, we're going to cut all the field trips or whatever. You know, whatever it's going to take for you guys to get to that magic number is important for you, but I think it's also important for the community to understand, you know, we have to be, you know, in the black, or things have got to go away. And I don't think a lot of people pay attention to that until you get rid of stuff that they really care about, whether it's the sports that happened in 04, 05, or whether it's busing, which is going to tip a whole bunch of people off because so many people are relying on busing in our district. So I just wanted to make a point, let you guys understand that I think for the best chance for the levy committee and the levy campaign to be successful, you need to come up with, if it fails, this is what is going to have to happen. And you could, you know, got plenty of time to discuss and whatnot, and you can say, well, it's either going to be this or that. This is the magic number we have to reduce, and these are the things that will get us there. But I think the community needs to know that, and I think you guys should have an understanding of what direction you want to go when the committee comes back online. So, okay, thank you.
Thank you, Ken. Sounds great feedback, and I know I appreciate that. Thank you very, very much. And I think we have, let's see here, Amanda Hampton. Is that who's next?
Linda and Greta called, and we talked about a few things, and she talked with Mark on a few occasions, and so invited him to come to our board meeting and share some information.
I actually printed off the PowerPoint for you guys so you can kind of take it home, because we won't go in detail on all of it.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Sure.
Thank you so much. I'm Dr. Greta Mayer, and I'm CEO of the Mental Health and Recovery Board of the Clark, Green, and Madison Counties. And we'll get to Amanda, the main event, here in just a second, but she invited me to join the conversation today to talk a little bit about the intersection of local government, which you guys are, and we are, and Amanda represents local government as well. So it's kind of a cool partnership that we want to talk about today around that. So thank you so much for the time on your agenda, and we'll keep this brief. So what we're talking about today is mental health and how to uphold young people's mental health in schools. And as I said, I'm representing the Mental Health and Recovery Board, and I'll talk a little bit about who we are in a minute, and also talk a little bit about the challenges that youth face. And then Amanda's going to talk in more detail about some potential solutions that can be implemented in the school, if you so choose, to help bolster and promote that mental health, so that we reduce the chance of more youth maybe getting diagnosed with issues or needing treatment and longer-term support, so really, and helping teachers manage challenging behaviors in the classroom. So that's what it's all about. So just in general, we know the challenges that youth face today, there are underlying problems that lead kids to react in different ways, of emotions, behavior, and those kinds of things. So it interferes with learning. We know that the homes that kids come from and whatever happens at home, and we know that a lot of kids are transient. They come in and out of district and out of different homes. Maybe there's poverty, maybe there's trauma, child abuse and neglect. And that what at home happens at home impacts learning. And kids come into the school building with that. We know that more now than ever before, and at younger ages, we see that young people have thoughts, emotions, and behaviors that are risky. It's dangerous. You hear about things like bullying, you hear about things like suicide, and you hear about just worrisome risk-taking behavior that may seem all in fun, but turns out to be very dangerous and could lead to violence and things of that nature. We know those things have increased, even with our little ones, before they enter school, getting expelled from preschool. It's crazy to think about that, but it is the case in today's day and age. So parents and school personnel may not have the resources and fiscal, other relationship capital, or partnerships, or whatever it is, to then deliver additional supports in the schools. And I think that's where the partnership among local governments and others are so critical to meet these needs in the fiscal times that we're all in. So specifically Madison Plains youth, let's look at the data. We want to use data to drive decision making, and I checked out your stuff online about your district improvement plan, and you guys are very data oriented and focused on quality improvement, which I applaud you for that. So the Madison Plains youth, this is their self-report with the Youth Risk Behavior Survey that was done in 2014, and there's comparable data at the state level for most of these items except for the last data point, and then also nationally. So we can look at Madison Plains youth and Madison County youth compared to Ohio and others. So these are high-risk areas for Madison Plains youth. 40% reported drinking alcohol prior to the age of 13. And what we know about brain development is that kids' brains develop, and we know it's even later than what we originally thought, up to age 25. So and that's where the higher learning and planning and thinking comes in, the ability to control impulses and plan for future behavior and future things occurring. That gets interrupted when substances, whether it's alcohol, marijuana, it could be other drugs, prescription drugs, can change that brain chemistry that can lead to more problems later down the line, and it could be problematic in developing addiction. 15% attempted suicide. So we're not talking about just having a fleeting thought about their own death or even making a plan, but these are youth that are reporting they actually did something with the thought in mind to end their life. So we know that the more attempts that happen for kids and adults, the more likelihood there'll be that they could die. Kids don't understand the level of mortality. It's hard to, for them to understand that, and so it's again an additional risk for our youth. And about a third reported experience in bullying. And we know that there's tons of media attention to all of these things, and it's always on the negative side. So we know that these numbers are high compared to Ohio and nationally, and these are some areas that we believe partnering with to address them would really make a difference. The prescription drug is a higher one as well, and we know that everyone's talking in the news about the opiate epidemic, but we know that prescription drugs, and even legitimately prescribed by doctors, can sometimes be misused or end up in the wrong hands. And kids in particular think they're safe because a doctor, you know, had to prescribe them. Even if it wasn't for them, they think they're more safe maybe than street drugs. So we know that that's a risk additionally. So as a mental health and recovery board, we cover three counties, Clark, Green, and Madison counties. We, like you, raise local levy funds to then, but we're a little bit different than a school board in that you guys oversee policy and then you implement it within the district. We do our policymakers too, and we do planning around what services will be delivered, but then we contract with agencies like who Amanda represents, the Family Council, or Mental Health Services, a nonprofit, to then deliver the service. So nobody in my shop does any clinical services. We're the administrative overseer of that, and we evaluate and monitor the public dollars that we invest in services to make sure that it's a good return on the investment for public dollars. So we only have a half mil levy in Madison County. That's it. That generates about $375,000 annually. It's not a whole lot to do programming. But what we can do, and this is what our mission is to raise additional state and apply for additional grants so we can do more programming. And that's just what we're doing with this prevention presentation that we're showing you today. So our role is, again, policymakers, and we contract for prevention. So that's before someone receives a diagnosis that's a problem, a mental illness, maybe depression or something else, or have an addiction. And then treatment's rendered once a diagnosis is made. And then recovery supports us with long-term services to maintain people in recovery. So what our board's mission is to invest more heavily, it's on our strategic plan, to invest in prevention. Because we can never have enough clinicians, and we know that most people don't seek treatment. So even if they have an issue, they may not show up to treatment. So we have to invest heavily in prevention that can be spread across many people that are unlikely to walk into the doorways of a treatment center. But the bigger reason is we can actually delay or prevent the onset of a health problem with prevention services that we know are evidence-based. So in Madison County, this is just an example of those three levels of care that we provide. So we have coalitions, the PACSCA behavior game that you guys have bought into and really support, and we appreciate that. That there's tons of good data, and Amanda will share that, you know, 25 years out when kids in first grade receive PACSCA behavior game, that it really prevents mental illness and suicide and drug addiction and things years down the line. It's hard to even wrap your brain around that because it's such a powerful return on your investment dollar-wise. So that's just Serenity House is a recovery house for men with addiction. It's brand new. It's in London, so that's kind of our newest thing. We received a capital grant from the state. So we know prevention is effective. It's based on science. We know it reduces the occurrence, it delays the onset, reduces severity of problems. It also promotes the self-regulation and self-management in young people. So they can think before they act, slow themselves down, think through the consequences before taking the next step. That's what all these prevention programs in its basic form do. And what we know, and the Attorney General had a commission on education and prevention in education settings this past year in the schools, and it's a long report, you can find it online. And we testified, a number of us, and Amanda provided testimony to the effectiveness of prevention, like PACSCA behavior game. They said, hey, if the state is going to do something with funding, which we hope, please don't disrupt what's already working and add to and build on the foundation that's already here. So I think they heard that, and we also recommended this idea of dosages. So just like reading, writing, and math, you don't just do it in first grade and then you're good to go to college. So prevention and mental health promotion needs to happen, of course. You know, it can't just be the DARE officers. It has to be multiple times across their development in order to have that power and impact them in a positive way long term. So they make good decisions all the way through. And again, our return on investment is really important. So Amanda's going to speak to Madison County Family and Children First and the council there and Department of Family and Children. These are just some other agencies that we support groups in the county. And so,
prevention I'm really passionate about prevention. I actually do two things for the county and family services, which would include wraparound, high fidelity wraparound, family services, and crisis stabilization for families. And then I also do prevention. So I can go into schools and assist either by facilitating to youth or partnering with the schools so that we can actually have teachers trained in their school to do it and continue to do it going forward. And I did provide a little bit of information on the report that Greta was speaking about, the Surgeon General's report on alcohol, drugs, and health for you guys to take a look at. And it's a very, very tedious report. So I've highlighted some areas that I thought might be very important to you guys. Currently, Madison Plains is doing the PACS Good Behavior Game. They're actually almost at Fidelity in some of the classrooms. The PACS Good Behavior Game is a fantastic program, and your school does a fantastic job doing it. You guys have done a fantastic job at selling that to the teachers because the buy-in is one of the biggest things. It's another thing that they feel like they have to add to their plate on top of the state testing, the baggage that each student is bringing into the classroom, in addition to some other responsibilities that teachers currently have. We're going to talk about evidence-based kernels for life, the alcohol literacy challenge, risky business. I did not put anything in here regarding mental health first aid because the program that I currently offer is for adults. However, that is something that we can offer to parents in the community if we wanted to do some community trainings. It's very intensive. It's an 8-hour course. I'm pretty sure I removed that. Then there's also QPR gatekeeper training. This is also a program that is not listed in here. It's for parents. When I went to that training, they did tell us that we could offer that to you. However, after going through signs of suicide, which is also in this presentation, I really feel like that triage and risk assessment piece that comes with signs of suicide, when you're working with youth and you're talking about suicide with them, they really need to have that triage and risk assessment. At the other schools that I participated in that curriculum with, some of the kids that were identified as having suicidal ideation had never been to their school counselors. Some of them were not referring themselves. It was referred by girlfriend or boyfriend or a friend that had concerns. So really a lot of these youth were pretty alarming to some of the school districts. Youth-led prevention assistance, signs of suicide, as we briefly spoke about, and then the Sandy Hook Promise and Beyond Difference programs. Currently, at the high school, we did do some Start with Hello with Amanda Cordell. We also did, she did the No One Sits Alone program for the middle school 7th and 8th grade classes. So the PACS Good Behavior Game is an evidence-based program. Teachers really, really love it because it gives them that classroom management, but it's so much more than the classroom management. It really teaches kids how to utilize their breaks. So that prefrontal cortex that Greta was talking about, where the impulse control, they just don't have the capability at all times to be able to use their breaks. So we want to really encourage them to utilize their breaks so that they make good decisions and that they're able to actually process information in order to make those good decisions. So there's some information on the PACS Good Behavior Game, and you guys are currently implementing K-6 right now. And there's some additional information, and again, I won't read all that to you because there are some things that the schools primarily, teachers really like, the fewer disruptions, the discipline referrals, truancy, but there's also some benefits for the youth over the course of their time. So even if a youth comes into the district and they only get PACS for 1 year, first grade year, even that 1 year brings these effects. It will have that cause and effect where they have a higher likelihood of graduating high school. They have a less likelihood of utilizing substances or trying to attempt suicide. They have fewer conduct disorders. They're less violent. They're less likely to be medicated for ADHD and ADD, which is, a pretty risque topic for some parents. So this can help alleviate that for parents. And there's some information on the reading and behavioral outcomes. So it does impact their reading scores as well when it implemented at Fidelity. And some information on the positive school climate. This is a really, really great article on how creating that positive school climate can do so many beneficial things for a school. And it's not, I've had parents, when I've been presenting, ask me, well, does that mean kids don't get in trouble? It absolutely does not mean that the kids do not get in trouble. It's just a more positive atmosphere for them. We kind of redirect the negative behavior in a positive way. And it's, again, there are still consequences to actions. The evidence-based Kernels for Life program. This program is being offered right now in the community. So we are doing parenting sessions right now with this. At some of the other counties that are utilizing Kernels for Life, it is the generic of PACS. So IEP teachers, cafeteria aides, your bus drivers, this is all a program that they can implement in that setting at recess, rather than having to go through the 8-hour PACS training. Another beneficial thing with the Kernels for Life would be middle school to high school, because it doesn't have that GBG piece of it, because let's face it, middle school and high school, they should be able to self-regulate a little bit better than our elementary school. I mean, we do have some that do not self-regulate, but the majority of them are able to self-regulate a little bit more easily than an elementary school student is. So the GBG, the good behavior game, is not actually part of the Kernels for Life, but all of the other kernels are. You still have the praise notes. Instead of being called toodles, it's a praise note. You still have mystery motivators. So it still almost mirrors directly with PACS, with an exception of that GBG piece. And the training is about 1.5 to 2 hours versus that 8-hour training. So it's a lot more cost effective for the county, especially since the last training that we did, we only had about 8 participants, and it can hold about 30 to 40 teachers in a training, and it's about $15,000 to put on a PACS training with PACS Institute. And there's some information on engaging population with evidence-based kernels. The Alcohol Literacy Challenge is a program that Madison Plains also offered last year to the 9th and 10th grade students. Before a youth turns 18, they actually see 500,000 alcohol ads. That social norming, they see that every time they see an alcohol advertisement, it's kids having fun, dancing, and the expectancies of what alcohol does is completely diluted to these youth. So this actually changes the beliefs. It actually partners with them the real cause and effect of alcohol, so that it actually, that neuron that wires together, is actually discussed pretty thoroughly, especially at the high school level, that because you're seeing it, you're partnering that it's a good thing. So we want to start partnering the fact that it's not necessarily a good thing, that there are consequences to your actions. It is not a program that says don't ever drink alcohol, it's a horrible thing. It's not that type of program. It really provides education to the youth so that they are able to make that decision themselves. Some of the feedback on the Alcohol Literacy Challenge from your students, I mean, we had students that were writing, like, why can't we sue the alcohol companies? I mean, they were upset that they were being targeted by the alcohol industry. So I tried to look up the young lady that wrote that. So, I was going to, like, recruit her into prevention. But there's the logic model for the Alcohol Literacy Challenge. So they are less likely to drink heavily as adults with having the Alcohol Literacy Challenge. And it can be offered from 5th grade all the way up to 12th grade. So like at London, we did London Middle School 6th through 8th grade. And like I said, Madison Plains did 9th and 10th grade. And West Jeff and Jonathan Alder are also coming in and doing it. Here's some statistics from that. They do a pre and a post test. Again, all of our practices are evidence-based. We want to make sure that the things that we are doing are actually effective. So if you see, this one's not as high as that one. So the 7th, 8th, and the 9th through 12th curriculum is not a true-false, whereas the 6th grade is a true-false questionnaire. As you can see from the data here, on average, they were missing 9 to 5 when they took the pretest, and afterwards, you can see the increase is pretty dramatic. And for the 9th and 10th grade students here at Madison Plains, it's pretty impressive how much they did learn from the Alcohol Literacy Challenge. And again, I really, this is just kind of something that we grade, but they, some of the students turned in their worksheets, and I promise you, some of the stuff that they said was priceless. So. And here's some information again on that Surgeon General's report on alcohol, drugs, and health. Risky business. So this might be one of our most risque prevention activities that we offer. It can be done in several different ways though. The curriculum actually has six lessons. They're each an hour long, so they can be broken up into a health class. They can also be placed in English. However, it's most beneficial. It can be from sixth grade all the way to 12th grade. But we do teach youth the decision-making model. That first lesson is by far the most important because it really teaches kids to start weighing the pros and the cons. For every decision that they make, there is a consequence. Even the decision not to make a decision is a decision in itself. Then that lessons 2 through 6, each one of them have a pre and a post test. So if there are any topics that the school district does not feel comfortable giving to the youth, they can be removed and this program can still be at Fidelity. I've had, I have one school that is going to be utilizing this curriculum as part of their drug and alcohol abuse policy. So any youth that fail a drug test, they have to go through the risky business curriculum. I have another school that is doing this 6th through 8th grade, and they are offering all 6 programs. Again, I really think it's beneficial. We actually decided in our training that we were going to offer the decision-making model to adults as well, so that will be a program that is offered, that one lesson, that 1 hour lesson for adults as well. Youth-led prevention. So you had the largest number of youth that participated in the Youth Leadership Summit this past year at Wright State. And we actually sent 2 of the Madison Plains students to Youth to Youth International this summer, and we sent 1 10th grader and 1 freshman. But they have a desire to do youth-led prevention at your school. I mean, they're rearing and ready to go. And some of them, because I do work with some of the youth here at the county, at the county levels, we do a lot of youth move. They're kids that have the lived experience and more high risk. So youth-led prevention and youth move, I really want to see them partner so that both kids can benefit. It is something that youth have brought to the table. They lead it. They decide the problems. They're just adult-guided. So we kind of keep them on track, making sure that they're not jumping way too high, but we also want them to be challenged. So we give them the tools. We send them through trainings. And it looks really, really great on college applications. And it may not always be just the student council kids. Signs of Suicide is not a program that the county offers. This is actually offered by Nationwide Children's Hospital. However, I've partnered with Laurel over at Nationwide Children's Hospital in order to do this at a couple of schools, and West Chef is coming on board this year. It'll be 6 through 12. And then they do boosters after that first year. They won't have to train the whole 6 through 12 again. They'll just do booster sessions and for any youth that they've missed as well. And again, this is by far the best out of the suicide prevention programs out there. It has that triage and risk assessment piece, which is absolutely needed when we are talking about suicide with youth. And again, you guys have already been doing Start With Hello. Actually, some of the kids that I was working with at the high school went to the elementary school and did Start With Hello with, at the elementary school level as well. That was really, really awesome at helping do that. Say Something is another one. It's encouraging kids to just talk. You know, if you see something that's not right, say something. It's not tattletaling. If you're not a narc, it's important to tell if you think that there's something that's not right. And it really instills that, and it makes kids feel very confident in sharing that information with a trusted adult. No One Sits Alone. Again, Amanda Cordell did this with the 7th and 8th grade this year. It's that anti-bullying culture. And Call It Out is about digital gossip, alienation, or social isolation online. And it's a really great program as well. And then there's kind of a layout of how we see it working in the schools. Again, there's definitely flexibility. We want to do whatever is best for the school, and you guys know your students best. Youth risk behavior surveys and OES are extremely important data collection so that we can decide collectively what programs for prevention would be most successful in the schools with your youth. Again, we're dedicated to supporting youth and staff at Madison Plains through free trainings for youth, staff, and parents. We provide prevention partners at the elementary school level, and we can continue to do that at the middle school and high school level, and we do data collection. I will say that a majority of the programs that have been selected were based on data from our youth risk behavior survey, but we really want to bring together a prevention group. I'm actually in the process of creating a prevention group right now. I would love to have a representative from each of our school districts, and then somebody from the juvenile courts and children's services. There will be a budget involved so that they can decide which evidence-based practices. That way I don't have to come and say, hey, I really want you guys to do this. It's stuff that you guys know because you have selected it. And again, that is something that we're actively working on right now. So I'm hoping within the next month we will be having those meetings. And it won't be very time consuming. I don't know if any of you guys are familiar with Cluster, but Cluster currently with the family services, we meet monthly. This is not said. I'm guessing at the beginning we'll have some monthly meetings, maybe even every other week, but then it'll go to a more quarterly meeting once we've designed what we want to do going forward. And that's all I have as far as the presentation, but I did want to provide you guys with some additional information. Absolutely. So House Bill 367 was approved. It is about, it's requiring that the Board of Education's offer in their health curriculum opiate prevention. So there's that, printed that out. And the handout that Greta is providing is actually specifically about a curriculum that was designed to fulfill this need. It is one of the programs that I would like to discuss in this prevention group, because it is, something that, is very personal to some individuals, and for other individuals, it can be something that they don't really want talked about with their kids. So this curriculum is very, very good at gauging it specific to the age population. And again, our state provided great state with a grant in order to design this program. He actually shared in the training that the last time that the state required any help changes was in the 90s, which is really scary, because as we know, things have progressively been changing, and not always in the best way. So then we also have information on the evidence-based kernels for life. The very first parenting session is September 14th. It's an hour and a half to 2 hours, and like I said, it is a fantastic program. And then we're also doing the alcohol literacy challenge at the Mount Sterling Community Center, the parenting curriculum. And then I wanted to share, for those of you that didn't notice the box over there on the playground, that's a free little library that was designed by some of the youth that I work with. They came up with the idea, they built the boxes, they wanted it to show, it was kind of funny, yours is green with red and white handprints on it. London's is red with green and white handprints. They wanted to show that London and Madison Plains could get along, aside the rivalry. So I thought it was really cool, and I was really proud of the kids for doing this. I did want to share that with you guys as well. You guys have any questions? It's a lot of information, and I apologize for pouring it all on. That's why I wanted you guys to be able to take the handouts home and kind of take a look at each one individually and see what your thoughts are.
And I appreciate you guys coming in, and I always like to point out, made those Madison Plains. So appreciate you coming and everything you do.
I please don't put this on the record, but I kind of show favoritism to Madison.
Well, we don't the record that we like you for that.
You did a wonderful job. It's amazing that she can deliver all these programs and all the school districts.
So do we use some of these, or I don't.
Yeah, those are the things that she pointed out that we already have in place, okay. Just like the PACs.
Mm-hmm.
We started with PBIS, and PACs was the strategies that came in place that she brought to us. We started that several years ago. If you remember, part of our improvement process, one of our goals was to change our culture, starting with the K-6, and that was where we started there. So that was a great segue into it. And Mrs. LeGault can talk more at length about it, but we're not going to let her. The question I had, there's a lot of things here, and I think they're all great. It sounds like other schools are picking and choosing. Mm-hmm. And it's probably for the same reason that we would pick and choose, just a lack of time.
Absolutely.
Is that what you're hearing from other school districts, that trying to get all this fit into the schedule within the day?
It is. The only PACS is not really something right. that has to be added into somebody's schedule. It really is just very simple techniques, and it actually gives teachers more time to be able to plan or to do certain things. It's just getting it in practice that is the biggest challenge. With the others, it is. I mean, especially signs of suicide per grade level, you're looking at a day for one grade level to go through the training and then triage and risk assess each youth. And not all youth are triaged, but those that flag red, they have to be triaged. And then some of them, you find out that it's just stress from school and sports, and because our kids are balancing so much stuff nowadays, so that stress can look like depression and anxiety. But then those that are really identified are then risk assessed. Nationwide provides the social workers to come out to the schools. Alcohol literacy challenge, I trained the entire 9th and 10th grade, I think it was a day each. So it took, and Mr. Jackson's English class was very gracious in letting them, you know, come into the auditorium and go through that curriculum. But a majority of them can be placed in the health curriculums, or even just a public speaking engagement with the youth. So there's definitely options.
Decision making, you know, mm-hmm. the level of what fits in best for what you have. And even Amanda has shared with me, so the plan that she thinks this would be great for the dosages against the different grade levels, that may be year one. And then year two, it's going to look different because your kids have already received some of the curriculum. You won't have to receive everything, you know, the next year.
That's very important, especially with the alcohol literacy challenge. I mean, the 5th, 6th grade curriculum is very juvenile in comparison to the 9th through 12th. But I don't necessarily know that the 7th, 8th curriculum needs to be given after the 5th, 6th. Does that make sense? Like, it mirrors. So there is definitely some flexibility. And again, we want to support the schools and however is best for you guys. Again, you know your students best. And your teachers know the students best. So ultimately, what you guys want is what we can do. So,
thank you, Greta
and Amanda.
I have the pleasure to do a random drawing. So, using one of the evidence-based kernels of randomized calling, just a little thank you. And thank you from us to you, and I work with you. Volunteers and work on culture.
Thank you. We will move on to the board work session. Are you doing the?
I can't.
Sure. Go ahead.
Madam President, I move that upon recommendation of the superintendent, the board grant a high school diploma to Leanne Dutton.
Second. Discussion.
I don't know much about the situation. You, Tim?
No, other than she met all the criteria. That's what was submitted to me to receive her diploma.
Is she here? Okay, great. Call roll, please.
Mr. Mason?
Yes.
Mrs. Cooley?
Yes.
Mr. Butts?
Yes.
Mr. Dodds?
Yes.
Mrs. Anikas?
Yes.
Motion carries 5-0.
Board work session, any additional? Go ahead.
I wanted to publicly thank Todd and his committee for all the work they did trying to pass the levy. I also wanted to just put it out there that, you know, we heard a lot of things throughout this levy, and I want, you know, to work to address those issues. I'm glad Ken's here tonight. I want the community to come to impact meetings, to come to these board meetings, give us those insights. You know, that was a pretty overwhelming defeat, and it shows, in my opinion, we've got a lot of inroads we need to make. We can't do those without people communicating to us, and we hope that people reach out to us. A lot of valid concerns are raised. We want to be as transparent as possible moving forward with what the district's doing, why we do things. And, you know, we just, Madison Plains is a special place with a lot of special people. But if we don't get the support of the community, we're never going to achieve what our mission is, to provide the best possible education to students. So I hope the word gets out that we're receptive and we want to hear what people have to say.
And I think really, you know, we're looking to rally behind certainly the community, and that's always our goal. And I actually wrote some stuff that you just said so perfect, so I don't have to read what I wrote, but because I kind of forget it. But, you know, I really clearly think that the voters were not support, honestly, I feel, of our future. And it, for me, it's very concerning. And it really, so Mark, you are right on. We want all the feedback we can get. So again, you started off great this evening by showing up at the meeting, giving us feedback, because that's what we need, right? And we don't have all the answers. And we can't do it without community, but we know we do it for the kids. And we know why we're here. And to give them the best that we can give them with everything that we have. And what we do talk about sometimes is, do you put out there, here's what you're not going to get if we don't pass this levy. And sometimes for us that's challenging, because that comes with a double-edged sword also. But again, I'd love to have seen, I was very disappointed. I really thought that we had a lot of great levy campaign workers, and they did tireless hours of work. And so for that, I thank them all. I think we all thank them, because they did a great job. And we just know that we have a lot of more work to do in the future. Anybody else on that? Okay, anything else for board work session? Okay, we will move on to approval of board minutes.
Madam President, I move that the minutes of the July 12th, 2017, July 18th, 2017, and August 7th, 2017 meetings be approved as written.
Second.
Discussion? Call roll, please.
Mr. Dodds?
Yes.
Mr. Mason?
Yes.
Mrs. Anikas?
Yes.
Mr. Butts?
Yes.
Mrs. Foley?
Yes.
Motion carries 5-0.
Okay. We can move to the financial treasurer's report. Mr. Bastien, it's all yours.
You have all the reports. You can receive those in advance. The only thing I want to highlight is our spending plan. It is the first spending plan for the new fiscal year. The information is there. I'm not going to point anything out on this spreadsheet, but I am going to move down to the last graph, which is our cash flow history. And maybe I can zoom in a little bit.
Are you trying to look at the highlight
there
ones?
There we go, yeah.
Yeah, like 47.
The highlighted ones, I just wanted to point out that the black line there is actually a draft for the coming year. Yeah, it's nothing finalized yet, because we try to have that, analyze that more when we get to our October 5-year forecast. So this is an initial estimate based on our last year's spending patterns. That can change, but initially it does show us dropping below the red line there, which would be below zero in the months of December and January. You know, and you can see in the previous history, those are our low points, traditionally, forever will be, just because of the timing of our revenue collections. But I just wanted to point out that that's not concrete, what's up there. That is an initial estimate, more so a draft estimate, but it's close. So,
a couple dollars off.
Right. The one thing I did in the estimate was revise the state funding that we projected to receive previously in our last May forecast. Went ahead and flatlined that in our revenue projections, because if you recall, we had the additional funding for the transportation figured into that. So I knew that was one I could go ahead and reduce down. What I didn't mess with so much was the expenditure side of things. So the expenditure pattern is roughly the same. But other than that, I don't have anything further in my report unless you have any questions for me. Thank you.
Do you want to go to the disposal?
Yes.
Property. Sorry. I can read it if you want.
We do have items occasionally come up for disposal that we like to offer for auction. These are items with some value that we can sell, for lack of a better word. We can't put them up for auction, for public auction. And when that happens, our board policy states that, you know, we should get approval from the board. So that is what we're doing here. There are items that are less than the Ohio Revised Code required amount to get board approval to dispose of in a certain way. But per our policy, you know, we want to make sure that we're giving the board the chance to approve these items to go ahead and put them up for auction. A list has been included there. They will be put up for auction on the GovDeals site that we have linked on our website, so anybody has the ability to go in there and click on that link, and it'll take you directly to the items Madison Plains has up for sale. Also, it's important to point out that there's no cost to the district for posting those items through that GovDeals site.
So we have a reserve for that stuff? Or just
We have the ability to set a reserve. These items, I don't believe we'll have a reserve on any of these items. In fact, we did try to post a reserve on one of our previous items. It was a year or so ago, and it didn't go so well. So chances are, moving forward, unless it's an extremely valuable item and we know there's some really good value there, we probably won't be setting reserves on many of these items. So it's a good chance for the public and other agencies to potentially pick up some items that we no longer have in before. That somebody else might be able to make use of, and a little extra funds for the district.
I'll throw out there, these items are well used. That's how I'll put it. We have gotten our use of them.
They're not gently used, is what you're saying.
They're well used.
Yeah, no worries.
Thank you. Right. Thank you, Todd. Okay, we'll move to the financial action item section.
Madam President, I move upon recommendation of the Treasurer that July 2017 financial statements be accepted as presented.
I'll second.
Discussion? Call roll, please.
Mr. Dobbs?
Yes.
Mr. Butts?
Yes.
Mr. Mason?
Yes.
Mrs. Anikas?
Yes.
Mrs. Cooley?
Yes.
Motion carries 5-0.
Madam President, I move that upon recommendation of Treasurer, the August 2017 list of property for disposal valued at less than the dollar value set forth in state law be approved as presented.
Second.
Discussion? Thank you. Call roll, please.
Mr. Dobbs?
Yes.
Mr. Butts?
Yes.
Mrs. Anikas?
Yes.
Mr. Mason?
Yes.
Mrs. Cooley?
Yes.
Motion carries 5-0.
Okay.
Great, thank you very much. My first item is levy update, and I've heard several people speak about the levy. It was disappointing, but not necessarily disappointment from my perspective on the community. It's a disappointment on, I fully believe that our plan that we put in place back in 2012 and have been operating under since that point in time is a strong plan. We did not do, when I say we, primarily talk about me, did not communicate that plan clearly to our community. I think if they would understand the fact that when people say, let's build new buildings, you can't do that until you get your operations under control, you can't even have the conversation, they would say, oh, okay, so we need to get that taken care of first. So first thing I think we need to do is have our meeting and have a conversation about making sure the communication going out is clear and articulate to the community. I agree, kudos to Todd Fisher. He spent a lot of time in one of the busiest times in any person's career. Yeah. He's actually balancing two different jobs right now, and he did a very good job for us. So this is not a reflection on his effort or the rest of the committee. So I'm very proud of the work that they did. Next steps, I think, is our critical thing that we need to decide tonight. Believe it or not, we need to start talking about the PI renewal. And how we're going to market that. A PI renewal is more on the district and the Board of Education communicating to the community how we've spent your money. Okay? It's not we're trying to conserve your operating dollars. They give us money to spend on these facilities and our buses and technology. We have to communicate to them what we've done with it. We put that clearly out there, and they appreciate the fact you spent the money wisely. They'll renew it. If you don't do that, they won't. So that campaign is going to be more internal as it was last time, if you recall. The committee did very little other than provide signs and things like that. The campaign committee that we just completed, we meet again next week and we'll have that conversation. But we as a board need to have a special meeting to talk about our next steps to make sure that Todd and I have clear direction on where you want us to go for not only the PI renewal campaign, but also if we're going to be on again in May. If you've noticed, I've been very generic in my comments for the newspaper and things like that because we haven't spoken. So until we get our marching orders from the board, I'm going to be very generic at that point. So we do need to set up a meeting if we can, a special meeting, just to talk about our next steps. So I don't know if you want to do that now, end of the meeting, whatever your fancy is.
I'm going to have to throw out some dates that Mark Hawk can check.
Yeah, we can get a date. That's fine. We can do it later.
Okay. If you'd rather do by email.
Yeah, I don't want
to. We can announce it. That's fine. That'll work.
You're out of town more than the rest of us, so you get it. Okay. Especially right. Me before our next one.
Yes.
So you want it before the end of August?
Yeah. Because we need to establish the marketing plan for the PI renewal.
Okay, so just be looking for something in the next 2 weeks.
Okay. And I'll get here to the next one. There was a request from the board for us to provide information on the support that the Board of Education has provided to our athletic programs, our band programs. And I threw FFA in here because they're also a co-curricular program just like marching band. So that's why they're in here as well. I've got a couple spreadsheets. Let's start with the 16-17 right there. What this shows is for the 16-17 school year we just completed, it goes through, and we'll just go through the athletics. You see the supplementals. That's what we pay all of our coaches that are within the athletic program. Farm rent, $15,000 that went to the athletic program and was used for their expenses. Purchase services, supplies, and equipment of $28,500. Facilities, you can see miscellaneous small items, the wrestling room, that they did some painting and carpet and things like that. The stadium well pump attributed most of that expense to athletics. Marching band uses it occasionally, but most of our sports use our practice fields, which are watered, and that's where that the primary use is for that. The PI fund paid for that well pump, as well as the wrestling room upgrades and the miscellaneous expenses. So you can see we broke out general fund at $218, the PI fund at roughly $9,300. So you take your total expenditures for athletics for the year, our number of participants, and that is junior high and high school participants, and those are not unique numbers. In other words, you might have a kid that plays football, that plays basketball. That's two. We didn't say this one kid is one for the year. Okay, so you get an increase in numbers by doing that, but I mean it is accurate. That's the number of participants because supplementals are assigned to those different programs where the cost comes from. So the expenditure per participant this past year for athletics was $499 a kid. Now, I know Mr. Morlock mentioned about cutting sports or pay to participate, things like that. This is the kind of calculation we would do if you got to the point where the board and myself and Mr. Mustang were talking about having a pay to participate fee for athletics. You would drive to, okay, here's what it's costing us per child. Okay? Are you going to charge $500 a kid to participate in athletics? Those are the kind of questions, this is the kind of information you would have when we're making those kind of decisions. So it's very timely to have this information now, because it kind of gives you a preview of what could happen. Marching band, this is junior high and high school band. If you remember, we do have a junior high band. They do have performances, and so I included that number as well as the marching band. Supplementals at $15,000, farm rent at $5,000. You had their supplies at $24,000, and band instruments at $20,000. That did come from PI fund. And then you also have their total there at $64,000. Their number of participants between the junior high band and the high school marching band was 102. That put them at $633 a child.
Just junior high band something that's a class, or is it an extracurricular? How I view them, and we talked about this as co-curriculars versus pure right. Extracurriculars. If you're in junior high band, is that considered an extracurricular for you to be in the band, or is that a class for a grade?
They have to go to the band concerts to get their grade fulfilled. So that's where it's similar to marching band. Marching band, they get a half credit for being in the marching band. Then they have a regular class, they get their other credit for it. So that's why I included those numbers. like I said, there's 50, I think in this year there were 53 in the junior high band. So again, the biggest problem we have in doing something like this is you can push those numbers in a lot of different directions. And it depends on who I speak to. Band folks would make the argument that, okay, if I've got a kid that's in choir and jazz and any music program, they want that number up there. Because they don't want to compare just marching band to athletics, they want the music program compared to athletics. So that's where myself and my past as a treasurer, and I know Todd struggles with it, okay, how do you want this to look? Not that you try to manipulate it, but you have to include all the information, as you pointed out, to be transparent. You know, we could have had more numbers there for music than we would have had just band. And some people would argue you should. And that's where that conversation will come if we do get to the point that we want to do a pay to participate for athletics, for band, for the music program, for any extracurriculars. We'd have to include those numbers because choir, jazz band, all those things are extras.
Well, that's an important thing. How do we define what's a pure classroom student that just comes here and either takes band because he has to or whatever, you know?
Yeah. Like, isn't choir a class?
Choir is a class, but part of their grade is going to concerts. Okay. So,
by the way, I would make that argument. You need to include jazz band. I don't know about choir, but some of these other things need. I mean, if you're including, my child plays basketball, he plays football, he runs track. Right. What's the difference?
There's supplemental for choir. Yeah. Oh, mm-hmm.
Yeah. And that's why I say, for this presentation, I want to make sure you understood what I was presenting.
Yeah, oh,
I
understand.
And it may be something more when we get down the road if we are talking about reductions. And that's where we can really kind of hone in on, okay, we need to dump it all in, so when you're charging folks a fee, you better know.
Pay to participate, what's a pure class versus what's an extracurricular.
Exactly. And our problem we run into is the co-curriculars. Because then you've got a teacher's getting paid to teach band, but then there's marching band after school that they get a supplemental for that. So what are you going to charge for?
We actually call that a coach now. So
there you go. Okay.
Yeah, I could go with all coaches, right?
Yep. So you can see what the band with the junior high and high school band and marching band included was 102, 633. FFA, I included that because it's very similar to the marching band. There's a class component, it's co-curricular, and then you have the extracurricular in which they receive a supplemental for it. 18.9 is a supplemental for FFA. You get the small expenses of the general fund, and again, they have a healthy fund because they do farm the farm, and a large portion of that does go to them. We did start splitting that up about 4 years ago, I believe it was. $20,000 coming back to the school to divvy up. And you can see they're about $116 per participant. But what's not included in there is what they're getting from the farm.
Right.
Okay. So that's the 16-17 year. Todd, if you just want to pull up the graphic for that, it just kind of shows you graphically where they were at.
In the 28,000, I don't know if you got me that because you got me a lot of the information. I don't know about that one. My take is, I just want to see if you know this, you know, can answer it for me. Is that the entire mowing fee being allocated to football, or nothing?
Mowing?
Athletics. Mowing. Like,
for mowing the field? Yeah. No.
So that I sent that follow-up question to you, like, what is that $28,000 consist of? And that's one answer I didn't know.
That was the PDFs that I sent. It was PDF documents.
I provided the detail behind any of these numbers. You should have a summary detail and then a detail, for lack of a better word, that shows the breakdown of what accounts were charged. And then further detail about what within those accounts was actually either paid for, what was paid for.
Okay. And without seeing, how was Allscape's fee factored in anywhere in these numbers?
Not in this.
They weren't allocated.
That's not any part of this.
Gotcha. No. I missed that, so I'll go back and look. I'll let you know if I had.
Would you think it would be factored in here?
That's what I thought. I wanted to make sure if it was, what percentage of it was.
Right. It's a good question because people were asking that. So it is not included in this. And we wouldn't charge. You wouldn't include this in here because then eventually you'd have a paid participant that includes a fee for mowing the grass. No, we have our own other accounts to take care of that.
For instance, the largest portion of that amount is the athletic trainer fee.
I got you.
For that, which is $21,000.
$21,000.
That's what I was looking for.
Yep. Okay, so the graph, we just jump to that. It just simply shows that the board share of those three groups split out. You know, it's 40% athletics that year, 51% for the band, and FFA was 9.3%. So we jump back to the year prior to that, using all the same logic as far as junior high and high school. You can see the supplementals. They're in yellow just because Todd and I were trying to highlight it for us today when we were working on it. You slide over to the total expenditures for athletics, $230,000, split by 425 participants, about $542 a kid. And then you go to band, and you can see that has the band tower that we put out there. It does not include where we paved the tennis courts over, because it's split really amongst many different, you know, events. I could argue putting that to athletics, because for the athletic events, but the band is there. Band practices are on it every day, so it's one of those I just didn't include it because I didn't know if you just split it in half, it wouldn't make any difference. So you're at 542, band is at 448 that year, and then for FFA, they're at 260. So again, it goes back to, is there a special project or anything going on in that particular year that's going to drive up? Because normally the number of participants is pretty steady. Athletics has been going up pretty steady over time. I know Renee and Andrew want the band numbers to go up as well, but not for this reason. They just want more kids to participate. So that's kind of where we're at there, the graph.
Yeah, I was going to point out one thing real quick. The big change in FFA, you see there in the supplementals, is due to we had more advisors in that year. So we actually reduced the number of FFA supplementals in the following year. Yeah. And then also we receive a grant, a fifth quarter grant, that pays for a portion of those supplementals. That amount fluctuates each year. So that amount decreased from 15 to 16. So what that does is offset those supplementals. So what you see left is the general fund cost. But that's where you'll see a big change in FFA. That's where that big change is residing.
So, again, as Todd pointed out very clearly, that's a budget cut that we've made that people don't realize we made. Because the ag program didn't want to lose one of those advisors. But we said, no, we have to start scaling back. So the chart just simply shows you for that year, kind of flipped a little bit, 43 to 35%, FFA at 21%. You're good. So really, the exercise was trying to gain an understanding of what we are spending on these programs. The lion's share always will be the supplementals for the athletics. For band, it just depends on what's going on that year. If they need instruments, if they need a tower, if they don't need anything, their numbers could drop dramatically. So, and again, that the divider is what's really drives things here. As athletics numbers go up, their number will go down. Same thing with band, because we're not increasing by any dramatic means how much we're spending on those programs. We're just trying to maintain. The supplementals will always drive athletics and their overhead.
Well, your participation rates, how many, 4 or 5 times?
Yeah. And that the number of participants is going up. So
right.
Kudos to our coaches and Mr. Mason on working with the kids. Hopefully we'll get Renee up there about 150. You want to say that, don't you?
It's coming.
Yeah, it's coming. It's coming. Okay. Any questions on that? I'll sit back down.
We had also discussed the proposed numbers for 17 and 18.
Good point.
Yeah. I know you might have a screen you want to touch on that.
The challenge with 17, 18 is we can come up with what we estimate our supplemental cost will be. That's easy to do. The bigger challenge is we don't have the farm rent decided what we're going to do with it. The other thing to keep in mind, the first year we charged that farm rent, we just put it in the PI fund. We didn't divvy that out. So, you know, that's not decided yet. So we've talked about, well, let's split it. Let's give the band more this year, whatever we need. That has to be decided yet. I have to make that recommendation to the board, and they have to approve it where it's going to go.
The other challenge real quick, on the supplementals, it's easy, but then again, it's not, because we have to budget for if all of those teams are fully staffed, the number of coaches that they project that they'll need. Those things change, too, throughout the year. You may have a team that doesn't get the number of players that they need to field a team, or you may not have the same number of assistant coaches required in any one season, but we budget for a larger amount. So that number would seem, if we put out the budgeted amount for 17-18 would seem a lot higher than the actuals for 16-17 or 15-16.
But I'm not trying to hedge as to why we don't have a slide. I'm trying to say that any slide we put out right now would not be entirely accurate. PI fund, we have 20,000 budgeted for instruments for the band this year coming up. They didn't spend all their money last year that they had. We did not carry it over for them to spend this year. You get set amount. Your 20,000 for last year. Yeah. Well, I'm talking, no, not this year, the year before.
Where do you put all like the officiating referees? Are those in those numbers? Is that such an expenditure?
The athletic account pays for all of his own officials, all of their own officials. So that comes out of 300 accounts. So those are.
So that's not part of.
That's not part of this.
This is board support.
So none of these expenses would include the monies generated by the program, like for FFA. None of the self-generated funds and fundraisers that they do. And the expenses associated with those are included here, just like none of the self-supporting things that athletics does. That's not included here either. So this is a cost to the board. This is the general fund cost. That's why you see the farm rent included, because that's actually a transfer from the general fund to these different areas.
So the only other things that are planned at this point in time, we had talked about the instruments for the band program. I want to talk briefly about that. Our band program, 4 or 5 years ago, we had not consistently bought instruments. It was very hit and miss. And I can tell you, a turning point for me was being up at the state OMEAs and watching, what's it called? The marimba. Watching us try to wheel the marimba out there with a broken wheel. Now, you're at the States, and that was a moment for me where I said, no, we're not doing that anymore. As long as I'm superintendent, we're going to try to invest in those instruments. I think it's the appropriate thing to do because they're representing us. And it was tough. Parents were doing a good job, but it was embarrassing for them. I wasn't embarrassed, but it just upset me. But that was a turning point for me, saying, no, we've got to do something. Now, we might get to the point where we don't have enough money to make that investment, but as long as we can, we should. It may not be 20,000 every year, but we have to evaluate that and consider it. The reason why that's in there is I was given a very clear plan from our curriculum department working with the band directors on here's what we need, and then we spread that out over time, trying to buy things every year. I related it to what Mr. Penny's done in technology. He's got a schedule with a cycle of what we need to get, and all of our programs need to be on a schedule like that. Then we know we can spread it out over time as our PI money is coming in, as general fund gets healthier. So that's the only other thing really that's in there. We also have in our PI plan miscellaneous dollars that we budgeted for. That's not new. That was in our plan 2 years ago for things like, if you've noticed the promenade, they've taken out the band concession stand, but we paved over where it was. That's a part of a site improvement. That's why it was ours. We split the cost on the concrete because it increased the size of that area. And so now when you walk down there, there's much more area for crowds to gather and see the game. So if you haven't been down there yet, it's pretty neat. I really like it. I think it worked out really well. So splitting the cost with the band, I think, worked out very well for us. Instead of us having to do it all, they agreed to pay for a portion of it. So that I was thankful for. But other than that, I've always said I'm wide open to proposals for 40-60 projects, whether they come from FFA, athletics. Doesn't mean you're going to get it. Doesn't mean I'll even recommend it to the board. But we should at least listen to those. And my administrators, they know if you see something like that, you need to make a proposal. Work with those people and see if they can come up with their share, just like we did the field house. So. That's the only thing that I have on the horizon out of PI for athletics, band, or FFA. I can tell you right now, one of the areas in our district facilities that is in most dire need of improvement is the ag department. If you have walked through there lately, it looks pretty sorry right now. So we need to do something about that. My hope was we passed in August. past the renewal, then we start talking about facility, but we're not there now. So our conversation changes. Those are the next things I see. Anything else on this? I'm happy to speak to it.
Appreciate your
answer.
Thank you for all the information.
Thanks, Mark.
Okay.
Anything
else?
Questions? Item number three was also a request from the board to address our organizational changes. Okay. I'm very, very pleased with the results of the changes we made over the last several years. Let's start with the organizational chart, Todd, if you would. The reason why this is up here tonight is not only for the board's request, but I did let you know that I was going to request that we make a change to the org chart this year. I wanted to get the principal at the high school and the 712 assistant principal to where they have more time to allocate towards our new staff, to work with them, to mentor them, to implement the programs that we want to get in place, to improve communication, to give them that time. Now that we have our team in place, the athletic director, I want reporting to me. And Matt and I've already had a couple of nice conversations in less than the last week and a half. So I think it's going to be a good situation where we stay on top of everything and working together. So the athletic director would report directly to the superintendent. He would have the coaches report to him and the secretary that he has there halftime as the athletic secretary, fulfilling athletic secretary duties, is in that position. So small change, but it's a big communication management change. I think it's going to be critical. First year I was superintendent, this is the way we were. And we had a lot of challenges that year, not in athletics, but overall. It did make sense for the 2 years that Mr. Mason worked with the high school principal. But I think now we're in a better position where reporting directly to me allows me to work with Matt on things that I want to see done, and he has more of a direct line of communication to me. So I think that's going to be a great change for us.
One thing, when we have our special meeting to kind of discuss things, one thing I've heard is that we're potentially heavy on aides or, you know, different things.
Yeah.
So I'd like to look into that and
okay.
see, you know, are we as efficient as we need to be with all of
okay.
it? It's not just aides, but I mean, that
right.
seemed to be one of the common themes that I would hear.
Okay. We can certainly do that. We are a little bit unique in that the number of aides we have is primarily driven by most of our teachers don't have duties, because we want them focused on getting ready for the class, not, you know, watching the playground. We want them getting ready for their next class. So those are the decisions we'll have to make moving forward. Folks, absolutely, you could look at aides and say, let's reduce the number of aides, but it's going to change how the teacher's day operates, which is more less prep time for the classroom. So everything that we do to change has an impact.
That's the fun future we got to
exactly, do. Exactly. So, okay, if we could flip back over. Let's go to the significant changes. This is just a summary of what you'll see in the detail here in a moment, but since 14-15 school year began, we started, like myself, Todd, and our high school principal. That was the differential in pay over the people that were in the positions prior to us. Okay? That's a reduction.
So that number is right with Dr. Unger?
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
Yes.
Who was his president?
Mr. Clark.
Clark.
Chris was the second highest paid administrator in the district. So that change alone was that. Todd's, of course, because the third highest paid person was the treasurer. And so Todd helped us out there.
Thanks. Well, still is a
right.
Right.
Yeah. Yes. That's what I say. And the superintendency, there's a savings there as well. And that's just year one. In year two, 15-16, elimination of the intermediate and junior high principal positions. You can see that was very significant. And I've got the detail in the next slide for you. But $35,000, we knew that we could save money by going to principal, assistant principal setup. The next year, 16-17, of course, my rehire, $10,000 savings there. Elimination of maintenance supervisor, technology director positions versus the addition of the director of ops and maintenance coordinator positions. So when you take those two versus the other two, the differential was 29.7, and that was the savings that occurred. Elimination of the casual labor maintenance positions, Those were the two gentlemen we had doing casual labor for several years. They were scheduled to make $45,000 that year, and those positions were eliminated. Transition to work position, that was Mr. Pratt. That work now has been absorbed by our IS teachers in the high school. That was a savings of $37,000. So when you take those numbers, and I did not include it on there, you aggregate it, it's over $300,000 in 3 years just by doing organizational changes, new people in positions. So it's very significant. So if we can flip over to the detailed one there, Todd, I appreciate it. And I'm not going to go through it in detail, it just summarizes or details out what that summary showed. In blue are where you can see savings. So superintendent, 14-15 year, that's me first year. Prior year was my predecessor. And then you see out in 16-17, the reduction. The board does not pay for anything other than that for the superintendent. You don't pay for the retirement pay, as has been communicated by different mediums out there. My retirement pay is by the SCRS board. That is what the Board of Education pays for. So you did see a true reduction in cost through that.
To be clear, though,
There's other costs.
Other things.
Salary.
Thank you. Yeah.
Right. There's no other salary that I'm receiving of any kind for the school.
Right. The district funds benefits. Are paid for.
Absolutely. There are other benefits I do receive. The treasurer, you can see the change there from 13-14 to 14-15. The high school principal, you can see where Mr. Clark was in 13-14, where Dr. Unger came in. The next blues down there show the principal at the intermediate and elementary going away, but yet you have the junior high principal, the assistant principals listed there. Maintenance supervisor, as you scroll across there, at actual 16-17 in blue there, it's called it's gone. That's Mr. Kimbler in 16-17, that was his salary. So on the far right, that shows a reduction in green, so that's a savings to us, that's why it's listed as green. Maintenance coordinator, that is Mr. Garrett. That's the new cost, that's why it's included there in white, and it's also red, because it's a new cost. And so when you start adding those all up, you see where we end up down there, $38,385 as savings to us in total. Then you take into account the other changes, which was the elimination of transition to work coordinator, and the casual labor, that's $81,800. For a total of $120,000. Down below the chart, on the far right, that 972 represents what the actual cost was for those positions listed above for 16-17. If we had not made those changes, the cost would have been $1,092,000. That's the gray column. So we went from $1,059,000 in those costs to $972,000. So again, that's why I say I'm very pleased with the fact that our reorganization did exactly what we said it would do. And we can prove that. The numbers back it up. It's not us doing any mojo with numbers. It's the facts. So.
We need to communicate that because I think there's numbers out there that people are communicating that are incorrect. And I think we need to tell the right thing, the true story, right?
Absolutely.
Be transparent about it.
Yep. So the work and effort that the board and the administration have made in trying to reduce our costs, it is paying off. Any questions on that? You do have student handbook changes. They're very minor. The school calendar has a small change. The district and building administration updates. That's just changes in names. And then the lunch and lunch charges you've already approved are in the handbook. So, of course, any changes to the handbook, we bring to you. We list in the front under the index. And that's what you'll be getting here in just a little bit. The band uniform request. I spoke to the board that we would be talking about a uniform request. I received a good proposal from Ms. Perkins and now Hostetler, where they basically want to get new uniforms after 11 plus years of using the same uniform. My commitment was we would consider it. They submitted it to us. Basically, they're looking around $30,000. I put in here the request for a 40-60 program split out of PI at $18,000. Now, the question is, well, it's coming out of the permanent improvement fund. And people say, well, people question that. I can tell you that we'll get questioned on no matter what we buy out of the permanent improvement fund. Our goal is to show that we've used the money for the facilities, for our buses, for our computers, and for our kids. To me, this is clearly one of those things where I can easily look at somebody and say, our band was walking around or marching on the field with holes in their uniforms. They've come up with their share of the funds. We're going to use funds from PI to offset that difference. So that's on the agenda tonight. We can talk more at length if you'd like, but I do have that presented to the board for approval tonight. So any questions on that?
Is there things throughout the year, there's other list of things that you mentioned, buses, heating units, whatever it might be, that we say no to do it? Basically, do we have so much in that pot that it's not a big deal, basically just?
No, the challenge you have, and it's a very good question, Mark, the challenge you have is we do not budget 100% of the PI proceeds. And the reason being is we've got to have, as my predecessor used to call it, the oopsie daisy. Because I'll give you an example. Today, we just got a PO request from Mr. Penny for repair of motors in the sewage plant. Doesn't sound like a big deal, but I think it was $20,000.
Yeah.
We didn't have that planned. That's why we don't budget the 100% of the PI fund, because it's for this purpose.
Right, and that's something that absolutely has to happen, or else we can't have some.
Sure.
You know, so those are the
that's
things
important.
That we have to keep. Yeah, that's important. So we have to keep those amounts in reserve for those oopsie-daisy stopping school events, you know.
So the challenge is, we've got things that we have on cycles. We get one classroom of furniture each building every year now. It's $80,000. We get new windows every year for the intermediate building, because we started 4 years ago, and 4 years ago, replacing two classrooms a year, because every room had leaks. And if you notice, it's starting to get better, and we're getting close to the end of that cycle. But those are the type of things, and two buses a year is the other thing, and computers every year. So those are things that we cycle every single year. We know we're going to get those things.
We did that master plan for that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And we have that. And this is the last year of the master plan, because it's the last year of PI. Because if we run out, if we don't renew it, then we won't have any funds coming.
So will we have a new master plan before we go?
Yes.
That's what we'll be communicating to the public?
We're operating off of the old one now for this year. But what we're going
to
be presenting to the public is, okay, the past 5 years you funded us, here's what we bought. Mm-hmm. Moving forward, here's what we want to buy. So it's a pretty black and white campaign.
Some of the things are real important too. For instance, you mentioned the buses. PI expenses can sometimes save the general fund money. For instance, new buses cost a lot less to fuel. They have better miles per gallon, they're more efficient than older buses that they replace. Well, the general fund pays for the fuel for the buses. And a district of our size, that can be significant.
Yeah.
So that's why it's important that we keep this kind of rotation schedule going, because we don't have all of our buses as efficient as they could be.
And I should notice that in the most years, so we have that slack there for emergencies or things that come up. Do we usually use it all? Do we have some sitting?
No, we carry it over.
We are able to carry it over.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Okay. Yeah, the funds in the PI fund stay in the PI fund from year to year, and they accumulate if there's a remaining balance carry over the next year. So you remember when we first started this, there was a large expense that we had coming out of the PI fund, because there hadn't been very many expenditures made out of that fund for a while. So there was some catch-up that happened. And then now we're on more of a rotation schedule.
Is that something we'd do if we were envisioning having to put in a new sewer plant or whatever? Some huge thing
yes.
that basically need to build up over time.
Yeah, the huge things are, you know, your sewer plants, your roofs, your HVAC, things that can fail that are extremely expensive that would stop you in your tracks as far as operating a school.
That's one of the scariest things is
and
the HVAC.
Yeah.
It's kind of interesting that Mr. Warlock's here. He was here last time we ran the campaign for PI. One of the things that we took some shots on is that we had such a huge carryover balance. In fact, the person came to the podium during that and said, you've got over $1 million in your PI, you don't need this. So yes, it's not that you want to just spend it willy-nilly, but you have to buy things to show people that there is a need. We did need to do this. We do need to have new buses and computers. We've got about $50,000 worth of computers that we need to order right now for this year for testing. Fortunately, we can get them in pretty quickly, but those are the kind of things that we made a commitment to people that we would buy if they give us the funds, and if you don't, it looks like you don't need it. And obviously you may not.
Well, the second part they had is perception, right? Can people, we have very educated people, I get it. And we actually have a successful rate of passing the PI renewals. So, I mean, I'm not gonna shortchange our people. But what I worry about is $18,000 for band uniforms when we just say we had an emergency operating levy. We're in an emergency situation. Right. So, I'm not gonna be supportive of this request, not because I don't fully agree that the band probably desperately needs these uniforms. I believe I like the band a lot.
I do.
Whatever. If this was at football wanting new helmets, I'd say the same thing.
Right. Okay?
But that's my concern, is $18,000 to whatever extracurricular that we may be talking about, as we say we're in an emergency, as we are deficit spending. That's
Our job is, though, Mark, to explain the PI fund to the voter and what that funds versus the general fund and what that funds.
I don't disagree with you. I'm saying the argument of band uniforms is at a time that we're this critically deficit spending, failing emergency operating levies. That's not the argument I want to go to, to take to them. This is why it's so critical that you pass whatever so we can get band uniforms. It's important. But the sewer system or whatever it might be, those are the ones that I don't have any problem, or a new bus. I don't have any problem putting those things out there and saying, this is what we're using your PI money for. I don't see it as the band uniforms or football uniforms, fill in the blank, basketball, redo the locker room, whatever it might be. I don't see that as what we as a board, who, because of what we just saw in the voters, we want to show them, hey, we're using your money, your hard-earned money, as effectively as we can. That's not necessarily what I want to leave. And maybe I'm wrong there, but that's what I see.
I understand your point, but this is what the PI fund is for, and the band are students here. I mean, we need to support them. This is a successful program where they've had uniforms for 11 years, and literally they are threadbare. We need to support the students in the band and the band. And that's where I'm from. It's our job to explain the difference between PI levy, what that's used for, operational levy, what that is used for. If we can't explain that and get the voters, then that's our fault.
No, I'm with you.
I understand your
point. I hope you hear me. It's not personal. It's just timing. And so what I think is, we talked about how there's a lot of decisions have to be made. We're having our meeting. What I believe would be appropriate is we table it, we wait till we have that meeting in the next 2 weeks, and if band uniforms rises to the top of what's the priority of this board, so be it. We do it, But at this point, we're talking about, we don't know, what decisions we're gonna have to make, what tough decisions are gonna have to be made out there. In my opinion, it's something that the timing of it right now is not appropriate.
Your better argument, Mark, might have been we may not have a marching band that needs those uniforms. I'm sorry, that's the gist of it.
That's absolutely correct.
Well, no, right. I think you get it. It's a pivotal moment in our school's history. Yeah. Right?
So an option on the table for the uniforms may need a table.
You can make that motion if you want.
All right. Let me get there. We see what happens. Okay. That's it for me. Thank you.
No unfinished business. We will move to new business.
Madam President, I move that upon recommendation of Superintendent, the Board accept with regret the resignation of Michelle Powers, Cook Helper, effective August 4th, 2017. Mrs. Powers has served the Massapequa School District for 1 year.
Second. Discussion? Call roll, please.
Mr. Knotts?
Yes.
Mrs. Zinnikas?
Yes.
Mr. Mason?
Yes.
Mr. Butts?
Yes.
Mrs. Cooley?
Yes.
Carries 5-0. Madam President, I move that upon recommendation of Superintendent, the Board accept the resignation of Mary Sparrow, Food Service Coordinator, for the purpose of retirement, effective June 1st, 2017, and intent to return, effective August 14th, 2017. Mrs. Sparrow has served the Massacone School District for 19 years.
Second.
Discussion? Call roll, please.
Mr. Dodds?
Yes.
Mr. Buzz?
Yes.
Mr. Mason?
Yes.
Mrs. Zanikas?
Yes.
Mrs. Cooley?
Yes.
Motion carries 5-0.
Madam President, I move upon recommendation of superintendent the board accept the resignation of Patty Anthony, aide, for the purpose of retirement, effective June 1st, 2017, and intent to return, effective August 17th, 2017. Mrs. Anthony has served the Madison Plains School District for 30 years.
Second.
Discussion? Call roll, please.
Mr. Dodds?
Yes.
Mr. Buzz?
Yes.
Mrs. Zanikas?
Yes.
Mr. Mason?
Yes.
Mrs. Cooley?
Yes.
Carries 5-0.
Madam President, I move that upon recommendation of the superintendent, the board accept the resignation of Ashley Muska, a second grade department head, 2017-2018 school year, effective July 6, 2017.
Second. Discussion? Call roll, please.
Mr. Mason?
Yes.
Mrs. Zanikas?
Yes.
Mr. Dodds?
Yes.
Mr. Buzz?
Yes.
Mrs. Cooley?
Yes.
Carries 5-0.
Madam President, I move that upon recommendation of superintendent, the board employ the following on a one-year contract to be paid in accordance with the adopted negotiated contract for the 2017-2018 school year as listed.
Second.
Discussion?
Yeah, I wanted to point out the corrections, please, before you move on, the corrections that are listed there. They were listed as MA-15s and MA-30s. And we do have some new hires that were at the lower end of the scale as well. So it's not that everybody we hired was 30 plus years. So just wanted to point that out.
Good. Thank you. Any more discussion? Call roll, please.
Mr. Dodds?
Yes.
Mr. Buzz?
Yes.
Mr. Mason?
Yes.
Mrs. Zanikas?
Yes.
Mrs. Cooley?
Yes.
Carries 5-0.
Madam President, I move upon recommendation of superintendent the board approve 5 extended days for the food service coordinator. These days will be paid at their daily rate and are needed to complete work to be done prior to the start of the regular contracts. Extended days must be approved each year.
Second.
Discussion.
And I just wanted to highlight, Mr. Penny, that was the same number of days that she had last year.
That's right.
So we're not asking for more, it's the same number of days. And hopefully we'll get to the point where that whittles itself down even further.
Thank you. Call roll, please.
Mr. Dodds?
Yes.
Mr. Buzz?
Yes.
Mrs. Zanikas?
Yes.
Mr. Mason?
Yes.
Mrs. Cooley?
Yes.
Carries 5-0.
Madam President, I move that upon recommendation of superintendent, the board approve 9 extended days for the transportation supervisor. These days will be paid at their daily rate and are needed to complete the work to be done prior to the start of the regular of their regular contracts. Extended days must be approved each year.
Second. Discussion.
Is this the same number of days as last year, the 9?
Yeah, or? I think, is this more though, Joe?
This is an increase, right?
It's an increase in days. And the reason being is he started August 1st.
Right. That's when he was officially started.
Right. He's been working with Sam Jones to get trained on VersaTrans and get up to speed. The guy is a workaholic. He's working all weekend long to get everything ready. And we might have a few bumps, but he's working hard to make sure we have as few as possible. So this is money well spent to make sure school starts okay.
Any more discussion? Call roll, please.
Mr. Dodds?
Yes.
Mrs. Zanikas?
Yes.
Mr. Mason?
Yes.
Mr. Buzz?
Yes.
Mrs. Cooley?
Yes.
Carries 5-0.
Madam President, I move that upon recommendation of superintendent, the board award the following stipends to be paid in accordance with board approved BOAG stipend schedule for the 2017-2018 school year. It's for Gary Hoffman and Shelby Valent.
Valent.
Second. Discussion? Call roll, please.
Mr. Dodds?
Yes.
Mrs. Cooley?
Yes.
Mr. Buzz?
Yes.
Mr. Mason?
Yes.
Mrs. Zanikas?
Yes.
Carries 5-0.
Madam President, I move that upon recommendation of superintendent, the board award the following supplemental contracts paid in accordance with the adopted negotiated contract for the 2017-2018 school year as listed.
Second. Discussion. Call roll, please.
Mr. Dodds?
Yes.
Mrs. Zinikas?
Yes.
Mr. Buds?
Yes.
Mr. Mason?
Yes.
Mrs. Cooley?
Yes.
Motion carries 5-0.
Madam President, I move that upon recommendation, Superintendent, the Board approve the revision to the district organizational chart as presented.
Second. Discussion.
Again, all you're approving is the change of athletic director reporting last year to the high school principal, reporting directly to me.
Discussion. Call roll, please.
Mr. Dodds?
Yes.
Mrs. Cooley?
Yes.
Mr. Buds?
Yes.
Mrs. Zinikas?
Yes.
Mr. Mason?
Abstain.
Motion carries 4-0.
Madam President, I move that we table subject 11, which is upon recommendation of the superintendent of the board to purchase the band uniforms for marching band at a cost to the board of $18,000. This purchase represents 60% of the cost of the uniforms. The band boosters are responsible for raising the remaining 20%. The board's 60% share will be paid from a permanent fund.
I'll second that.
So we have a motion to table item 11. Discussion.
And I don't have an issue with, as long as we have our meeting in the next couple of weeks or so, I don't have a problem with that.
Call roll, please. Call roll on the second.
Mr. Mason?
Yes.
Mr. Dodds?
Yes.
Mrs. Zinikas?
Yes.
Mr. Buds?
No.
Mrs. Cooley?
Yes.
Motion carries 4-0 to table.
Madam President, I move that upon recommendation,
sorry, 5-1, or 4-1, four, I'm sorry.
I'm sorry, I guess.
Problematic.
Okay, Madam President, I move that upon recommendation, Superintendent, the board approve the changed 2017-2018 parent-student handbook.
Second. Discussion. Call roll, please.
Mr. Dodds?
Yes.
Mrs. Cooley?
Yes.
Mrs. Zinikas?
Yes.
Mr. Mason?
Yes.
Mr. Buds?
Yes.
Motion carries 5-0.
Madam President, I move that upon recommendation of Superintendent, the Board approve the list of 2017 auction items as presented.
Second. Discussion. Call roll, please.
Mr. Dodds?
Yes.
Mrs. Zinikas?
Yes.
Mr. Mason?
Yes.
Mr. Buds?
Yes.
Mrs. Cooley?
Yes.
Motion carries 5-0.
Madam President, before you go on to the next item, there's a correction to the subject line. Let's approve the second reading. Do you have that on yours?
Second read, second okay. And final.
Just want to make sure. Final, yeah. The ones in the audience probably have first reading. We corrected that.
Okay. Our second and final reading. Okay.
That is correct.
So, Madam President, I move that upon recommendation of the Superintendent, the Board approve the second and final reading of the following job descriptions as presented.
Second.
Discussion. Thanks again. I know that was a lot of work to complete that task, so thank you.
I think you told us, did you get buy-in from, or did you deal with the employees much through that process? Or?
Well, we filed the actual contract along with the job descriptions, and we also went out to OSBA with the templates as well as what the districts and job descriptions that they had recently revised.
Thank you.
They were very detailed, very good. Thank you. Any other discussion? Call roll, please.
Mr. Dodds?
Yes.
Mr. Buds?
Yes.
Mr. Mason?
Yes.
Mrs. Zinikas?
Yes.
Mrs. Cooley?
Yes.
Motion carries 5-0.
We will move to donations.
Madam President, I move that upon recommendation of Superintendent, the Board approve the following donations, which is $6,000. From the MP football boosters to the athletic department for alternative football uniforms. Sorry.
Second. Discussion.
The protocol that we just approved for alternative uniforms was followed. They submitted a proposal to the athletic director. The athletic director presented it to me. We reviewed it. Uniforms are black, so it is definitely alternative.
Cool.
But they did follow the process that just didn't show up on a Friday night with different uniforms on, so I'm happy with that. And this is the last step. You have to accept the donation. This is the point where if you don't want them to wear alternative uniforms, you can deny the acceptance of the donation. I have to tell you that. I don't recommend that. But this is the point where the board can say, no, we don't want that. So you still have input into an alternative uniform.
So let me ask you this. What are they using these for? Is this a one-time? How often do they plan on using these?
My understanding is it's one time, but I'll let our good athletic director speak to.
Once a year?
This year the plan is, which game?
Week 3.
Okay. And it's a surprise, right?
Not anymore. I don't think it will.
Okay. Sandy, don't put that in the paper.
Yeah.
Don't put that in the paper.
It's not going to be senior night and homecoming, two of the major things.
Okay.
Thank you, Matt.
Yeah, my first question on what our actual colors were today, and I was glad to confirm with Tim we had an actual answer.
That's right.
Right.
We tackled the topic.
That's right.
Okay. And we're discussing
that was our easiest question, right. Less than more.
Okay, call roll, please.
Mr. Dodds?
Yes.
Mrs. Zanikas?
Yes.
Mr. Butts?
Yes.
Mr. Mason?
Yes.
Mrs. Cooley?
Yes.
Motion carries 5-0.
We move to new agenda items. There's no new agenda items. Executive session. You do not need the executive session this evening. So.
Bob, you probably have something.
Yeah, I got like 10 items.
So I make a motion that we adjourn the meeting. Okay, so the next, I skip that for every time. Next regular meeting, well, we're going to have a special meeting before the next regular meeting to be scheduled. We'll announce that in the next 2 weeks by the end of August. And then the next regular meeting will be held September 19th here in this room at 7 p.m.
Second.
You need a second, so how about that? Let's move on then. And I make a motion that we adjourn our meeting at 8:42 p.m.
I'm sorry, I thought that's what we were doing.
I know, I did it backwards. It's okay. It's my fault. At 8:42 p.m.
One second.
There you go. Okay. Any discussion? Can you call roll, please?
Ms. Cooley?
Yes.
Mr. Butts?
Yes.
Mr. Mason?
Yes.
Mrs. Zanikas?
Yes.
Mr. Dodds?
Yes.
Motion carries 5-0.
Thank you. I'm sorry, I got us all backwards. That's my fault. Well, I can't read in order, evidently. I don't know what I'm doing.
I'm sure that tabling was. But you
don't know. No, that's okay.
I don't think you actually did that.
That's exactly.